You're listening to the Matt Mercer Live Radio Network.
Matt Mercer Live. Imparting wisdom to the masses on a daily basis.
Matt Mercer Live.
Get ready, America.
It's time
for Matt Mercer Live. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Jacksonville, North Florida, and realms beyond. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live, where we help you make sense out of the law. I'm your host, Attorney Matt Mercer of Mercer Law, right here in the legal bunker at the WOKV studios, broadcasting in 100,000 watts of radio power. We're joining you on your dinnertime drive tonight as we help you make sense out of the law. Very cool. By the way, there's three ways to get in touch with us during the show. You have legal questions or comments or whatnot. You can email us at, grab a pen, give you the email address right now, wokv@mercerfirm.com. That's MERCERFIRM.com. That's WOKV, call signs of the station, at mercerfirm.com. Also, you can call us at 340-1045 right here in the studio, or go to our show's website at mercerfirm.com. Put a /WOKV. That's mercerfirm.com/WOKV. You'll see when you go to the website, a lot of interesting content. When you scroll down to the bottom, there is a form you can fill out your question or comment, submit it live during the show or 24/7. So later on in the week, you're having some issue, you're wondering, gee, what is the one with the law is on such and such? Well, send it to us. We'd love to read your question out. And by the way, on the website, I put a photo up there. It's a guess who photo. You go to our website, mercerfirm.com/WOKV. Guess who is in the photo? I'll give you a little bit of a hint. There's a group photo, I don't know, probably 15 different people, very young. And I want you to try to guess who the young fella is in the front row. You're going to be surprised. I'll be surprised if anyone can guess. This is kind of a bad guy as he grew up. It's the guy wearing a green sweater in the photo on our website with a white hat. If you think you can guess who that is, give us a call, 340-1045, or email us. And that's our Guess Who photo on the website. You know, last week at the end of the show, we were talking about some legal concepts, and I wanted to expound upon them, as I promised I would this week, right? We've got a lot of stuff we're going to go into tonight, but let's begin with where we left off last time. We're talking about claims for when people here in Florida, if they mess with your stuff, they destroy your stuff, they steal your stuff, what are some of the civil claims you can do? I want to give you an example. I have a trial coming up in about a month through my law firm, Mercer Law, here in North Florida. We've got a trial where we're representing somebody, a grandmother who was had all of her furniture, artwork, treasures stolen, raided by her grandson, who sold it, pocketed the money, kept some of it, gave some of it away, etc., and basically cleaned out her house. Not a very good grandson. This is going to trial very, very shortly. And this gives rise to a claim that the grandmother can bring against the grandson. I'm going to use very anonymous and generic terms. I'm not even going to tell you what county here in the state of Florida that trial is getting ready to come in. But what I want to do for you now is break down three different claims that you can do. We're talking about personal property. Personal property, first of all, is anything pretty much that's not real estate. Real estate's land, it's the building, it's the house. Personal property is the stuff. It's the movable stuff. It's your furniture, your desk, your chair, your artwork, your china, your office equipment for your business. That's called personal property. Now, when somebody, let's hit the first of these three claims, when somebody interferes intentionally with your stuff, kind of a silly example, they hide your keys. It's a temporary sort of a thing. There is actually a claim for money damages that we recognize in the law. We talk about civil law. Essentially, we're talking about claims for money or injunctive relief, generally. The first claim is called trespass to chattel. So that's where somebody interferes with your stuff. They move your stuff. You can't find it. It's a temporary sort of a thing. The second claim, a little bit more severe, what we call conversion. Conversion is kind of a funny name. It's an intentional tort. I'll give you a hypothetical. Let's assume that somebody, you buy a piece of artwork at a garage sale, you spend $10 on it, turns out it's a Pablo Picasso. It's worth $1 million. Somebody comes along and pours gasoline, bleach, or lights it on fire, thereby destroying your artwork. you have a claim for conversion. Now, that's probably a crime also, but you have a civil claim for conversion when they destroy your property. And the value of that claim here in Florida is not the $10 that you paid for the artwork. It's the value of the artwork on the day of the intentional destruction. You could have another example. Let's say you gave somebody the keys to your car. Hypothetical. You gave them the keys, so it's not theft of your car. It's consensual. You told them to go run an errand, only they never came back with your car. Okay, it's a little bit more ambiguous. Not quite sure there was the mental intent for civil theft or theft, but there's certainly a claim of conversion there, right? You don't know what happened to the car. You gave the guy the keys consensually. So let's go to the grandma situation that I mentioned a few minutes ago. This is a wonderfully awesome claim we have here in Florida. So somebody steals your stuff, a former employee breaks into your business and steals your factory equipment or your machinery. You've got all sorts of contexts where somebody intentionally, sort of with that what we call animus furandi, that sort of Latin, crazy Latin word for somebody's got almost criminal intent, really, to steal your stuff. Of course it's a crime. But in Florida, what we can do as lawyers, we can pursue a claim of three times the value of the thing that was stolen. It's a civil claim. You're the plaintiff. We sue the defendant for three times the value. There's a few things we got to do before that. But this can be a wonderfully powerful claim. So if $50,000 worth of furniture is stolen, guess what? We sue for $150,000. It's a very cool thing. Also, we get attorney's fees back against the defendant if we prevail. So it's very cool. At my law firm here in North Florida, and by the way, we practice in various counties all over the state of Florida. My firm is called Mercer Law. We deal with these types of cases. And, you know, if everybody's behaving well, you know, we'd have nothing to do as lawyers. But the problem is you've got a lot of people in the world that are, you know, they're stealing, they're doing wrong things, and these are the types of claims that we deal with. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But anyway, that's what we have juries for. It's what we have courtrooms for. Let me say this. Let's move into the amazing category of I just can't believe it. This is so silly. Just a silly, silly thing. Davidson College. Historically a good college. It's up in North Carolina. You know what they're doing? Davidson College has got a professor who has decided that she wants to eliminate the student-professor power differential and give students control of their education, as she puts it. What is she doing? She is saying, if you sign up for my class at Davidson College, I'm going to let you, the student, at the beginning of the semester, tell me the grade that you want. You just tell me. And, you know, if you want a C, if that's all you need, tell me you want a C. You, the student, are now empowered to pick your grade. Is that a really good idea or a bad idea? Let us know what you think. My goodness gracious. It's really, really surprising. I mean, what's the who's not going to pick an A? Everybody's going to want an A, I think. I mean, unless you're just, you know, really aspiring towards, you know, wanting to be right in the middle there and ask for a C. But I think she's going to have a lot of A's. You know, last week we were covering the federal law of spam, the CAN Spam Act. I'm not going to go into all of that since we already covered it, but one of the things I wanted to mention, remember that if somebody that is sending you spam, either to your home or your business, a business is spamming you, and maybe it's one that you've done business with, maybe it's one you've purchased from, but you can't get them to stop sending the spam email, you've tried to unsubscribe, it doesn't work. Remember, there is a way that you can involve the federal government to look into that. And it's a serious federal statute. The CAN Spam Act can result in fines of up to $41,000. Remember, we covered this per email. What we didn't cover that I want to mention is if you want to know how to get that to the federal government, send us go to our webpage, sign up on our little fan club button. It's real easy. You go to mercerfirm.com/WOKV, hit the button that says fan club. Sign up, it's free, and what I'll do, if you're already a fan club member or if you sign up today, I'll give you the information where you forward that spam email and you can send it in and let the federal government handle it for you. Very cool. That's what this agency's for. I'm attorney Matt Mercer. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. We've got more on the law in just a minute.
Unmitigated talk radio excellence. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Matt Mercer Live.
Matt Mercer Live.
Listen a lot to learn a lot. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live with your host, Matt Mercer. Get ready, America. It's time for Matt Mercer Live.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Matt Mercer Live. I'm your host, attorney Matt Mercer, broadcasting from the jurisprudential bunker here in the hallowed studios of WOKV 104.5 FM. I'll tell you what, you know, we've got a lot of stuff we're going to try to cram in here in the last 9 minutes of our half-hour show during your dinner time drive. I also want to mention, I get asked occasionally, do I do anything beyond the radio? I've been doing the radio since about 2009. Absolutely, we have a law practice called Mercer Law right here in North Florida. And if you have, or your business has, or you're an individual, you have a need to talk to a lawyer about a civil claim, you're not sure if we cover it, here's what you can do. You can go to the firm's website at mercerfirm.com. Click our practice areas. We cover a lot of different types of civil claims. You name it. I mean, foreclosures, foreclosure defense, construction litigation, breach of contract, commercial litigation, fights between businesses, et cetera, homeowner association lawsuits, yada, yada, yada. A lot of different types of claims around the state of Florida. Also, I want to mention, if you're interested in a half hour, what we call an initial consultation, this is where you get to come in or phone in and sit with me or one of the lawyers at Mercer Law. We can make that happen. You can call the law firm on Monday if you want. I'll give you the number, 904-824-4949. You can also sign up for a initial consult on the firm's website at mercerfirm.com. And that's a half hour. It's sort of like a test drive. We get to meet with you, chat with you, talk about different legal options that may be available to you as an individual or if you're a business owner. We love talking with you guys. It's a lot of fun. And we are able to help people. We're very strategic in how we approach problem solving. That's our business. Let's move on to more interesting news. This is really quite wild. And we've got the video up on the show's website. If you go to mercerfirm.com/ and put in WOKV, bookmark that. We've got some great video content. The crazy airplane, the guy out in Seattle, SEA, International Airport, who is an employee of the airline, and then Friday decides to, even though he's not a pilot, get into the aircraft, takes it off, starts doing loops and barrel rolls. Isn't that unbelievable? They scramble the fighter. Talk about civil theft, which we covered in the first segment. They scramble the F-15 Eagles. They're airborne in a few minutes, and this guy ultimately had a sudden impact with the ground. Fortunately, nobody was injured that was not him. Unbelievable. They're saying he wasn't a pilot, but I have to tell you, if you watch the video on our website or on YouTube or wherever, I think this guy had to be a pilot. He had to be, at least a private pilot. How else would he know how to start the engines on this twin aircraft, commercial aircraft? He knew how to taxi it. He also knew how to find the runway. I mean, it's not always that easy. If you know how to taxi an airplane, that's one thing. But how do you get to the runway, a large 8,000-plus-foot runway like Seattle's got? He knew how to roll the throttles forward, take off down the runway, and he knew the rotation speed because you've got to pull back on the yoke at a certain speed. You don't want to do it too soon. He knew that. He knew how to do some aerobatics. So unbelievable. Yeah. Crazy stuff. That is kind of also ironic because last week we covered the guy that was about to steal the airplane from Texarkana to fly to a concert up in Chicago who had never flown before. Unbelievable. By the way, tonight, meteor shower, really spectacular meteor shower. You may see 60 to 70. Look up in the sky sometime after 10 p.m. And it's going to be going on throughout the evening tonight and also tomorrow night. So you want to check that out. These meteorites are actually fragments of a comet that is blowing by. So you might want to check that out. Be pretty cool. You know, let's talk about something I mentioned we would try to get to last week. We ran out of time. It's the law of non-competes. Covenants not to compete. Now, this is a concept that we see in contract law quite a bit. Here in Florida, also in other states recognize this. What's a non-compete? A non-compete is where somebody has signed something agreeing that while under certain circumstances they will not work in a certain field for a certain period of time in a certain geographic area. Now, there's generally two types of categories. There are employees who want to take a job working with an employer, and the employer says, okay, we're gonna let you in on a lot of our, you know, processes and that type of thing, but you've got to sign a non-compete if you want to work here. And for so many years, for such a geographic range, you agree not to work in this field if you leave us, et cetera, et cetera. It's a restraint on the ability of the worker to be able to earn a living. And so courts generally, can't speak for all courts, can't really speak for any courts, but my experience in litigating covenants not to compete is that courts often tend to disfavor them because they are a restraint on trade. So when we're doing a covenant not to compete, when we're drafting one for an employer, for a business owner, we want to be very careful to word it in a way that is going to maximize the ability to have it enforced if you later need to. There's three requirements. One, the time frame has to be reasonably short. Hypothetical, if you do a non-compete that's 20 years, that's probably not going to be enforceable. Too long. 1 year, yeah, it seems reasonable. 5 years, maybe, context dependent. So we want to have a time frame that's reasonable. We also want to have a geographic area that's limited, right? And we want to word that very carefully if we're drafting a non-compete for a business. What do I mean by that? We don't necessarily want to say worldwide or even in the United States. That's too broad. What if we limit it to a county or a couple of counties? You know, the more tight we get on that, the better. Next, we want to have the scope be reasonable. So let's say you are a pharmaceutical seller or you make surgical supply equipment and you have your sales force sign a non-compete as a condition of coming to work for you. Okay. If that's the case, the non-compete should not bar them from engaging in any sales. It should be narrowly tailored, right? So we want to have the scope of that be limited. Now, aside from employees, and again, courts really try not to enforce these if they can find a way, generally. It's been my experience. But there's another context. What if you're a seller of a business or you're on the buying end? You're wanting to buy somebody's business. Maybe it's an asset purchase. You see a business, it's being sold, you want to buy the stock or you want to buy the assets, you're probably going to want to talk to a lawyer and have a lawyer look at how you're structuring that, either as buying the stock or buying the assets, and consider making the seller, the individual principals or shareholders who built that business up, now they're selling it, you probably want to think about having them sign a non-compete, because the last thing, right, that you want them to do is set up you pay $3 million or $500,000 or $200,000, whatever the business is worth, and now you've got the seller setting up a competing business right across the street, so to speak. No. If they're selling the business and you're buying it, we want to make sure they're not going to compete with you for some period of time, right? Make your ROI, your return on investment, possible. Very, very important. There's some other aspects of this. You know, what happens if you've got an employee and you didn't get them under a non-compete? And I'm not recommending that employers put all employees under non-competes, but there are certain businesses, certain industries where it might make sense. And let's say you didn't get an employee under a non-compete. Is there a way here in Florida that if that employee starts to compete, you can actually sue for money damages? There is. And we've actually litigated one of these cases through trial. It's a very obscure piece of common law called the employee's common law duty of loyalty to the employer. And here's how it works. If the employee, while he is on the job, while he's still working for you, begins to take steps to set up a competing business, maybe using or trying to leverage tapping some of your customers while he's still under his duty of loyalty as an employee, that can be a problem, right? If he terminates ends his employment, and then sets up a competing business, yeah, doesn't apply. I'm attorney Matt Mercer from Mercer Law. Check us out on the web at mercerfirm.com/WOKV. We'll be back next week, guys.
Matt Mercer Live, helping you get even smarter.